From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. Farm worker advocates are celebrating the recently announced updates to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency's Agricultural Worker Protection Standard, intended to improve worker protections against the harmful impacts of pesticide exposure. We'll take a closer look at what the updated regulations will mean for Florida's nearly 300,000 farm workers and their employers, and where advocates say further protections are still needed. Plus, state lawmakers will again tackle regulation of oil and gas drilling in 2016. Southwest Florida legislators have filed bills that, among other things, would preempt local ordinances that ban fracking, like the one passed this summer in Bonita Springs. We'll hear from supporters and opponents. First, this news. Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm John Davis. Thanks for joining us. Fracking is a technique for releasing oil and natural gas from underground by fracturing deep rock formations with pressurized water, sand, and other chemicals. The process remains controversial in Florida and around the nation. Proponents point to fracking's economic benefits and say it can help provide energy here in Florida, where about 60% of the overall electricity produced comes from natural gas. Opponents highlight Florida's unique geology and hydrology, saying the scientific data to show that fracking is safe simply isn't there. They also point to environmental concerns such as the risks of groundwater contamination and the amount of water used in the process. Past attempts to regulate fracking through the state legislature, including the current year's session, have failed, leaving fracking unregulated in Florida. Now Southwest Florida lawmakers are bringing the issue back for the 2016 legislative session that kicks off in January. Republican State Representative Ray Rodriguez of Fort Myers and Senator Garrett Richter of Naples have filed companion bills for the session. That amount, and among other things, they would preempt local ordinances that ban fracking, like the one passed in July by the Bonita Springs City Council. Meanwhile, Democratic Senator Darren Soto of Orlando has sponsored a measure that would ban fracking in the state altogether. Joining me now to explore the benefits and risks and the future of fracking in Florida is David Micah, Executive Director of the Florida Petroleum Council. Welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Good to be with you, John.
Thanks. Also with us in studio is Jennifer Hecker. She's Director of Natural Resource Policy at the Conservancy of Southwest Florida. Jennifer Hecker, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having us.
And we're also joined in studio by the City of Bonita Springs Mayor, Ben Nelson. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, John. Thanks for having me.
And we invited Senator Garrett Richter to join our conversation as well, but he laments he couldn't take part. He's in committee meetings in the state capitol this afternoon. But I do invite listeners to join our conversation. What questions, concerns, or comments do you have regarding fracking here in Florida? Connect with our guests with a phone call to 1-877-GCU-TALK. That's 877-428-8255. You can post comments and questions on our Facebook page at WGCU Public Media. Send email to GulfCoastLive@WGCU.org or join the live Twitter chat using the hashtag GulfCoastLive. And Jennifer Hecker, let's begin with you. You know, in the past, we've discussed these kinds of regulatory bills in the Florida legislature. It seems like we're talking specifically about fracking. In the current ones I've seen, they don't really use the word fracking. Is this really an expansion of those regulatory of the regulatory intent of the bills, what we've seen filed in 2016, or is it really still mostly about fracking?
Well, fracking to the industry is only those techniques that fracture rock, not those that dissolve rock. And so, unfortunately, the legislation falls short because it only addresses the ones that fracture rock. And we have learned here in Florida that this acid stimulation to dissolve rock is actually more commonly being pursued and still involves a lot of the same dangerous fracking chemicals. So that is one of our main issues with the bill, is that it does not study, suspend, or regulate the use of those techniques.
I know in the past legislative proposals have included a moratorium on the practice until, you know, a further study was completed. Is that still included in the current bill?
The moratorium would, again, only apply to those techniques that fracture and not this other technique that dissolves. So, again, I think from the public's perspective, anything that uses these chemicals is fracking. Unfortunately, in the legislation, it's very narrowly defined to only regulate some fracking-like activities while excluding others that, frankly, are more commonly likely to be done here in our state.
Well, as I understand it, you know, traditional hydraulic fracturing, if you can call it that, isn't even really appropriate for Florida's limestone substrate. It wouldn't even really be a technique that we would use here.
Exactly. For the most part, we were told until a couple of years ago that it would never happen in Florida. We did find that at the Hogan Well in Collier County that it was used, but only after they had acid stimulated to dissolve the rock out and they didn't get the production that they wanted. So they went to true hydraulic fracturing. That's very unusual. Basically, what we have learned from the information we've been able to garner is that the carbonate reservoirs we have here in Florida are more conducive for this acid stimulation to dissolve rock. And that's why we really want the legislation to be expanded to encompass those techniques.
Give us just a real quick kind of, I guess, geology 101 about what makes Florida's underground different from up north and why we would use a different type of fracking here.
So we have a softer, more open limestone geologic structure here. It's referred to as karst, meaning that it has all sorts of natural openings and fractures. That makes it, in our view, potentially riskier to use these techniques. That's why we believe that a study should be done to specifically look at how these techniques would work in Florida. So far, there hasn't been any study of these techniques in Florida. There's been an EPA study that was issued over the summer, but it didn't use any examples or anything to address how the techniques would work in Florida, only in other states where the geology is very different.
All right. And as far as what we see in these bills regarding preempting local ordinances, is that a concern for the Conservancy?
It's an enormous concern. I think a lot of people have asked us, you know, isn't something better than nothing? And we would respond at this point that not if it does more harm than good. These bills right now, with this preemption of local government being able to address zoning considerations like light, noise, truck traffic, those are things that the state doesn't address and would not address even if this legislation were to pass. So by removing that, you're really losing a lot of a local community's say about how to protect its citizens, the private property rights of others in the community, and public assets like public water supply sources. So we're very concerned right now that we're going the wrong direction with these bills. We're actually not improving them, but in many ways making them more problematic than they were last year.
All right. And Bonita Springs Mayor Ben Nelson, take us back to, you know, July here, whenever you and city council members were really looking at taking up this ban on fracking within city limits. What was the impetus there? Did that come from concerned residents of the city?
Well, historically, the city has always been very protective of its quality of life, and it's really not unusual for a council person. I think this time it was Janet Martin, I believe, who brought this forward to us and brought the idea and forward to us. And so, you know, typically when something comes forward, we take a look at it. We have the debate, and if it's something that we perceive as that will negatively affect our quality of life. I mean, that's why we've banned mining in the past in the city of Bonita Springs. We think that and I think that during the debate, we figured that, you know, we're a sufficiently urban area near the coast. We were surrounded and defined by water, Oak Creek, Lightner Creek, Imperial River, Fish Trap Bay, the Gulf of Mexico, the Corkscrew Regional Ecosystem and Watershed. So with that being said, it's really important to us and really important to our citizens in general. So, we decided to go through with it. We looked at it as a land use, you know, just like with anything. And as Jennifer says, we're concerned about truck traffic, noise, sound, light, all these other things. So we've banned a lot of heavy duty industrial uses because it's not the kind of city that we want to be.
Well, you know, as I'm sure you're aware, Estero has considered doing the same thing. And I know one of the things that they're concerned about there is that passing a ban like you've done in Bonita Springs could open the city up to lawsuits from mineral rights owners or landowners. I mean, certainly that's something that you all considered.
Yeah. During our deliberations, I mean, I think that a lot of the people that were affected in the petroleum industry and I think Collier and a couple other people indicated that that was a possibility, that we could be opening ourselves up for that. But it's always been something that I've learned from Wayne Daltrey, I think, a long time ago. He says, if it's something that's really important to your community, do you think will really affect your community, possibly, even if it's perception-wise, you know, you go ahead and do that. And you know what? If you let the courts settle that out, that's fine. But if it's really important to the quality of life to your city, you need to go for that.
All right. And David Micah with the Florida Petroleum Council, let's bring you into the conversation now. I wanted to get your impressions of the bills that have been sponsored by Representative Ray Rodriguez and Senator Garrett Richter.
Well, John, again, thanks for having me on with your folks there. And, you know, currently in Florida, there's a pretty comprehensive set of laws that govern all oil and gas activities in the state. But it may be time to update them. We're certainly a stakeholder, and we're evaluating those bills again. And I think that there is the potential for updating them for the best interest of the industry and the state, and certainly to protect the environment of our state as well.
All right. And, you know, I had mentioned earlier that, you know, without bills that have passed that have been introduced at least as far back as 2013, we've really left fracking unregulated in Florida. Is that something of a misnomer though?
Well, that's not accurate. Actually, fracking is regulated in Florida, and that's a misnomer. Right? I don't mean to interrupt you, John. But,
no, absolutely.
The practice is very clearly identified in the rulemaking. There are very comprehensive rules associated with oil and gas activities in the state, and there are some that would like to update those associated with well stimulation of all different kinds of ways. And certainly, we're a stakeholder again in that process, and we're willing to work with all those that are interested in that.
Jennifer Hecker, I know you've had a lot of experience, you know, working with DEP and you know, really monitoring what's been going on with the Collier Hogan Ware. Well, do you think that what David Mica has just said is true? Do we have regulations existing there when it comes to fracking, or is it a bit too easy?
I think that what happened at the Hogan Well really speaks for itself. The fact that the local community had no idea that activity occurred until well after it did is a symptom of a regulatory deficiency that we've uncovered, which is that right now the process is to get a conventional well permit. And then after you have that in hand, you can switch to using these unconventional well stimulation treatments, including fracking, with a simple notification to the department. That doesn't give the department the express legal authority to restrict or deny the usage of that technique, even if they believe that what they've seen been submitted to them is unsafe. So that's a real problem because, you know, that's essentially the problem we're trying to get at with this legislation is to have meaningful legislation that would give the authority to the department to require a separate permit, get all the information it needs, provide that information to the public and to local governments so that they can weigh in and have a say in what is going on and make sure that we never have a situation like the Hogan Well again. But unfortunately, these bills right now don't do that.
And just to clarify, yeah. Go ahead, David.
I was going to say the oil and gas industry has a long history in the state of Florida, long before Jennifer was either born or arrived in the state. We have drilled over 22,000 oil and gas wells in the state of Florida and produced billions of gallons, about 24 billion gallons of product in a safe manner. The proposed legislation does update those laws and would specifically require a very specific permit for well stimulation type of activities. As she has raised up in her kind of commentary there, but in fact, it is addressed under existing law. This new type of regulation is something that we've been trying to work with the legislature on, and unfortunately, there are those that would like to just prohibit oil and gas activities in the state of Florida that have really kind of been really a cause for this not getting done in the past. And I got to say that the Conservancy certainly has been not helpful at times in those discussions. And other times, I think they've been a very beneficial stakeholder in looking at updates to that. But gosh, when it gets to, it seems like you can only add on so many different things onto the Christmas tree of what a proposed law looks like. And the latest thing is a newfound concern over well stimulation associated with techniques that have been used for a long, long time in the state of Florida and is used in water well construction as well. So it's difficult, but we'll continue onward to try to address the kinds of concerns that are brought forward and, if possible, update the laws. And if not, we'll operate under the existing law as best we can here in the state of Florida.
Well, I want to respond to that because, you know, we were one of the only environmental organizations to try to work with the legislature to get legislation passed that went short of banning the practice. We worked in good faith with many legislators, including some from our region, to do that. Unfortunately, we didn't hit the bottom line, which was essentially to make sure that we had the proper study and suspension of the use of the techniques until there was proper regulation in place for the techniques that were used at the Hogan Well. And what we have now is a piece of legislation that only regulates some of those and not others of those. So it doesn't go far enough in hitting that minimal. There was many other things that needed to be done. But, you know, we've never been against conventional drilling. We've had it here for decades in Southwest Florida with very little environmental impact. We are only against inappropriate drilling in the wrong locations or using unproven risky methods. And so that's what our message is we're trying to hit a reasonable approach here. And Florida isn't a huge oil producer. In 2013, we only produced 0.1% of U.S. oil domestic production. So, you know, there's a cost benefit here. You know, is the juice worth the squeeze, essentially? You know, are we getting enough economic benefit, especially now when we're seeing these new riskier unconventional techniques being used, to make it worthwhile to continue to pursue those? I think that we acknowledge that some communities like Bonita Springs feel that it isn't right for their community. And we have always supported home rule, whether it be fertilizer ordinances or anything else, that local communities should have a say in what happens within their own community.
And David, Mike, I wanted to ask you to respond to that as well. The you know, the aspect of these proposals that would preempt, you know, local municipalities, you know, passing their own ordinances related to this. Shouldn't communities be able to make their own decisions about this, or do you think they're misguided?
Well, certainly there's a role for community participation in the permitting process that would take place with any oil and gas well in the state of Florida. But for 75 years, our communities have existed very well with regards to statewide regulation. And we think it really would be an improper course of direction to have over 450 different type of local governments engage in the practice of regulating the activity. We don't have the resources in the state to do that or the professional type of attention to that. And instead, what you see is, I think, misguided attempts at that, which just instead of looking at actually regulating the activity, they move toward a ban. And I heard the mayor and was pleased to be able to try to be able to participate in their very short process where they evaluated the issue and decided that a ban was in place. But I don't think there was any scientific study to that, any regulatory approach to that. It was merely a direction that I think was not based on what could be accomplished in many of our communities across the state of Florida if examined with the kind of attitude that a comprehensive approach to this would take. Certainly with 100 million tourists coming to the state of Florida every year, the needs for energy is something that my industry has to produce. We use about 25 million gallons of our product every day in motor fuels in the state of Florida. So we've got to replenish that inventory. Florida, to minimize that is in some way, like Jennifer did, I think is inappropriate because it's collectively in the United States, all of those drops in the bucket that fill the bucket. It's not one particular place or amount of that. And to be dismissive of more than 24 billion gallons that have produced, I think also is misguided as well. So we think that a comprehensive approach toward regulation of that, we have a role for local governments, much like they have today, when it comes to the permitting process, where more than 16 different types of governmental agencies have a chance to comment on a proposed permit, is comprehensive enough, rather than getting into the regulation of this at the local activity and going from place to place and enacting local outright bans.
All right.
To the activity.
Well, we are coming up on the end of the hour here, but I wanted to give you a chance to respond before we close out.
Yeah, and it makes a good point about bringing out that predominantly what we have a lot of tourists that come to our state, and that's what we do here in the city of Bonita Springs. People come here for the beaches. They come here for the water sports. They come here for the quality of life, the golf, the everything else. And that's really what our concern was. We didn't have any prejudicial role so far as whether fracking was good, bad, ugly, whatever. Only thing that we do as a municipality, and I think that other municipalities would be interested in, is maintaining that right that we did previously in the state statutes, which allowed us to have to approve these things by resolution. And that's being taken out of the statute, that's proposed to be taken out. And so we kind of figured that, and as a contractor myself, what I like to do is to have people know before they get into it that, you know what, fine, we know you have a right to drill oil wells through standard means and that kind of thing. All we're saying is that when it comes to these really heavy-duty techniques, there are ancillary things. Whether it's safe or not, that's up to other people to decide. We just know that it is very heavy duty industrial. We don't think it belongs within a municipal area, and I think that our fellow cities will probably agree with that. If we want to develop Florida right, we want to go ahead and make people to where they can go to these centers of population. If you're going to have people there, I don't think that it's really commensurate to have other types of industrial uses there.
All right. Well, we are going to have to leave it there. We've come up on the end of the hour, but thanks so much to my guests, Jennifer Hecker, David Mica, and Ben Nelson. Great to speak with you all.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Jennifer Hecker is the Director of Natural Resource Policy at the Conservancy of Southwest Florida. David Mica is Executive Director of the Florida Petroleum Council, and Ben Nelson is Mayor of the City of Bonita Springs. There's more information on today's show, and as well as past editions of the program, online at wgcu.org/Gulf Coast Live. Continue the conversation on Facebook at WGCU Public Media and on Twitter using the hashtag Gulf Coast Live. Thanks to my producers Richard Chinqui and Luke Martin. This is WGCU-FM, Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.